This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Smile. We have made it to the weekend. It's been a wild, rambunctious week, up and down, and we have questions all over the place tonight on everything underneath the sun, from fighting Terminators. I don't even know if I'll get to that one, to the Trump collusion stuff. Is Russia, Barack Obama going to prison? Should the new president be sworn in the day after the election? All that, history stories, so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show tonight. I want to first begin. In fact, we're going to open up with an email. The subject of this one says, Jesse, you're a genius. Wasn't that a great email? That was the best. That was the best. All right, no, quit, focus. All right, Trump came out today. You probably heard this or maybe heard about it. The audio is a little rough. He always does. Look, the man's accessible. Got to give him all the credit in the world for that. Answers questions every day. Problem with that is half the time he's standing in front of a freaking jet engine. So the audio is a little rough. But Obama. Is Obama going to burn for this whole classified documents, you know, using the intelligence agencies as a weaponized political arm? Nah, probably not.
It probably helps him a lot. Probably helps him a lot, the immunity ruling. But it doesn't help the people around him at all. But it probably helps him a lot. Well, he's done criminal acts. There's no question about it. But he has immunity, and it probably helped him a lot.
He's talking about the Supreme Court when they stepped in for Trump, when the communists were trying to throw him in prison, and the Supreme Court finally stepped in and said, okay, stop. Presidential immunity. Now, I need to explain something to everybody who's angry that that's a fact, or that Trump said it, or that this and that. And I'm going to try to set my emotions aside. You do the same. It's not that emotions are bad, but when you think with them, it makes you a moron. Let's set this aside, and then I'll dig into your questions about this stuff. Is Obama himself going to burn for this? Well, I'm not sure anyone's going to actually burn for it the way they should, but I'm telling you right now, I do not believe Obama will. I do not believe they will be able to lay a legal glove on Barack Obama, in large part because of the immunity presidents have. And I know this is a horrible way to start a Friday show because we're all in a good mood and I'm dragging you down. But we deal with reality, not your mommy's show, your daddy's show. Let me explain. Allow me to explain. You remember the story of Julius Caesar. At least we've talked about this before. Julius Caesar, what caused him, what was the main driver causing him to bring his army back south from Gaul, from France, but it was Gaul at the time, bring his army back south from Gaul and essentially march on Rome? Why did Julius Caesar do that? Well, one of the main reasons, on top of his ambition and everything else, was in the Roman system, there was, you know, the Romans were obsessed with the law. And that could be great when you have a society that follows the law, you're obsessed with the law. They were obsessed with that. Everyone must follow the law. Poor, rich, everyone follows the law, okay? And that obsession with following the law led them to have a system where politicians, whenever they were in office, I'm dumbing this down a lot, but politicians, whenever they were in office, they were immune from prosecution. So he's a consul of Rome. You know, Rome had two consuls. It doesn't matter. But he's a consul of Rome. He's the president. I'll use that word. He's the president of Rome. He's going to serve for 2 years while he's president of Rome. While he's the consul of Rome, we can't go after him. We can't prosecute him for crimes. But the second he's no longer in office, we can go after him for the things he did in office. That was part of the Roman system. All your protections from prosecution disappeared the second your time in office ended. Now, along comes Julius Caesar. He has an army, proconsul. He's up there in Gaul. He's conquering Gaul. The Roman Senate, they know he's charismatic. They know he's popular. They don't like the fact that he's essentially conducting a war without their authority. And there is at least a large faction in the Roman Senate that says, okay, that's fine. The millisecond, his term limited, his term is up, he's going to stand trial. And Caesar knew this. It's not as if they were shy about this. So when Caesar took his army and he marched to Rome, in Caesar's mind, what did he have to lose? If I'm just going to go to jail or be killed the second my term is over, well, gather up your weapons, boys. Let's march on Rome and roll the dice, right? And the founding fathers of our country, we're done with history for a second. The founding fathers of our country, they learned a lot and based a lot on the Roman system and the Greek system, other societies that have tried to be free to whatever degree. No dictators, no kings. How do you set up a free society, republic versus democracy? And so they knew all this stuff. Everything I just told you, they studied it, they talked about it, they wrote about it. And they didn't want that because that's bad, right? The second you get out of office, your political opponents, if they have the power, they prosecute you for crimes. So they put into place a system where presidents, while executing the duties of president, cannot be prosecuted after the fact. I know you're screaming at me. Just stay with me. Just stay with me right now. That does not say that Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Bill Clinton or George Bush can walk in a bank today and stick a gun in someone's face and say, give me all your money, and they'll be free and clear. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the way the law is interpreted, and I've had to talk to so many legal nerds about this to make sure I've got my T's crossed and my I's dotted. The way the law is recognized in the United States of America, even if a president does something horrific with the office of the presidency, horrific, the way Barack Obama did, he is still operating as president of the United States of America at the time he's doing something horrific. You're going to argue with what I'm about to say, but the way the court recognizes it is he is doing his duty. He is prosecuting what's the best way I can lay this out so everyone doesn't get too mad? He's being the president. But he can't do that. You're right, he should never do that. And by the law, he can't do that. But the system we have in place keeps presidents, even sick, evil communist freaks like Barack Obama, it keeps presidents from being prosecuted for the job they did as president. Even if it's evil, even if it's against the law, even if it's horrific, even if you hate it, even if he deserves it. And I don't take any pleasure in bringing this news to you at all. When Barack Obama told the CIA and the FBI to cook the books, come up with fake evidence to go after Donald Trump, to justify sending the FBI and CIA after Donald Trump, he did something sick, evil, wrong, and frankly illegal. Also, he's not going to be prosecuted for it. And I know that sucks. I know. I know it's awful. I hate it because he's the one that really deserves to burn. The one who was giving the orders to the dirty communists underneath him, he's the one who deserves to burn. But I'm not going to sit here and sell you a bill of goods on the show and get your hopes up and do the stupid, well, the clock is ticking on these people thing. That's so dumb and not realistic. And you get people's hopes up and then you bash their hopes off the rocks. I'm not going to do that to you. Barack Obama, there's almost no chance he burns for this. But that doesn't mean nobody burns for this. I'll answer a couple of your questions on it next. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Don't forget, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so I just burst everyone's bubble and dumped all over everybody's parade on a Friday by explaining I don't think there's a chance Barack Obama burns for all this, all the evil things he did. It's just the way our system is set up. Now, let me go over a couple of these questions. Oracle, if you can't charge Obama with the crime for the Russian hoax, what will stop something like this from happening again? All right. So I just kind of laid out that I don't believe Barack Obama will be charged with a crime. And you ask what will stop something like this from happening again. Well, it wasn't only Barack Obama involved. There's John Brennan, head of the CIA. James Clapper, DNI. James Comey, FBI. Other players underneath them. They are not protected by presidential immunity. They're not protected at all. You say if we don't burn Obama, the next guy will do it. I would agree the next guy will try. But all it will take is burning one of them. Just get one. I don't care if you pick the low-hanging fruit. I'm not naive. I know everybody who deserves justice isn't going to get it. Pick one. Pick the one you think you can get and send to prison and put all your efforts into that. All we need is a scalp. I know you want total justice the same way I do. Everybody who did it, everyone who committed these crimes deserves to go to prison. I'm right there with you. That doesn't happen, and it will not happen. But we can get one. One, if we get him, might be enough. Because the next Barack Obama we get, and we will have one. You know it, and I know it. At some point in your life, it's coming. The next Barack Obama we get, he will try to do the same thing. There's no question. That's the only way communists know how to operate. They look out at all the powers of government, everything from the military to the IRS to everything else, and all they see are weapons to attack their political opponents with. That's how the communist operates. That's what he believes. So the next Obama's going to try to do the same thing. So when he calls in the next director of the CIA and he tells them, go cook up some garbage evidence on a Republican and send the CIA after him, the next CIA director has to look back at what happened to John Brennan right now and say, Mr. President, no. If you try to force me to do that, I will resign. Not because I don't agree with you, not because I'm saying the Republicans don't suck. I cannot do that, Mr. President, because the last guy who did that went to prison and I don't want to go to prison. We don't have to. Obama doesn't have to be our only scalp. It's not an option for our scalp. We can get a different scalp. It's almost identical to what I've told you about John Cornyn, the United States Senator from Texas, and the primary he has coming up next year. He's going up against Ken Paxton. And when I bring up this race, people will say, understandably, Jesse, but we should be going after Mike Rounds or Curtis or Cassidy or Lindsey Graham or Thune or Jesse. We have so many more than just one. Yep, you're right. Or they'll say, Jesse, but I don't like Ken Paxton for some reason. Okay, fine. I'll give you all that. Fine, whatever. That's not the point. The point is there is a tiny cabal, 10 to 15 red state GOP senators, who hold the door open for communism in this country. They will pretend to be our friends right up to the point we can slam that door shut on communism. And at that point, they stick their foot in the door and leave it open, and the communists continue to operate. The only way to change that is to make them afraid to do so. They've done this because they get away with it. They do this because Senate terms are 6 years, and they screw us for 4 or 5 years, and then when an election year comes around, they raise $50 million and put up television ads telling you how much they love Trump, and idiot GOP primary voters believe them and run to the polls and vote for them again. We have to change that. If we take out John Cornyn, one scalp, the others sit up in their chair and go, ooh, these primary voters are getting serious. I better straighten up. Same thing with this Obama stuff. We are not going to get everyone, and we're dang sure not going to get Obama. At least I don't think. Get one. Get one. And not some lackey. That won't be good enough. I'm going to freak if that's who it is. If it's some assistant to the secretary, that no. Get one with the title director by his name. I don't care if it's James Comey. I don't care if it's Brennan. I don't care if it's Clapper. Comey, Brennan, or Clapper. One of those three, that's the scalp we need. Look, if you can get more than one, fine. But deliver one. Because the one, just like John Cornyn losing in a primary, the one sends a message to all the others and all the other future ones who may come. Uh-oh. I'd love to commit crimes with my office. After all, I'm a communist. But man, these Republicans will actually send me to jail. I better not. That's what we need. And you need Pure Talk. You need to stop supporting Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile because those companies hate your guts. The corporate battlefield remains exactly as it always was. They have been infiltrated. They now use their vast quantities of money to poison our culture. Don't pay for that. I've had Verizon. I've had AT&T. I've had T-Mobile. I'm not looking down my nose at you or judging you. But with Pure Talk, there's no reason to keep it. None. It's time to switch. Pure Talk is the patriotic cell phone company. You'll pay way less. I pay half of what I was paying before. They're on the same towers, so you're not giving up service. Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran, MacVie Sog, too. Switch. Oh, and you'll be talking to an American, a pleasant one who speaks English. Dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, chopping away at so many of the questions already. Talking a lot about this Obama collusion, Russian hoax, nonsense, crimes that were committed and where we're going here. Let me do one more question on it, then we'll move on and do some other things. Jesse, like you, I want prosecutions and imprisonment. For everyone involved in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. But as you say, commies reward their friends and punish their enemies. Don't you think any conspirator put in prison will immediately be pardoned when the next Democrat wins the White House? It's a temporary symbolic victory at best. Am I wrong here? His name's Brian. Okay. No, I'm not saying that you're wrong. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Don't do this if you're driving. Let's close our eyes for the moment and picture something wonderful. John Brennan. John Brennan, he goes to trial. They have moved the venue to Florida. That's a possibility, by the way. They moved the venue to Florida, and John Brennan, former CIA director, stands trial for cooking the books to send the CIA after Donald Trump. The jury hears the case. The public gets to witness it. It would be as big as the OJ trial. It'd be enormous. And we all gather around. We all gather around the TV, or maybe you're listening to the world famous Jesse Kelly show, and the verdict comes in late, and we would go to the courtroom live, and they go out, and the jury foreman or the judge, I don't know the rules, lists guilty on all counts. Okay? 20 years in prison. Okay, you're coming out of your chair. I'm coming out of my chair. It's a beautiful moment. John Brennan gets carted off to prison. Now, he rots there for a year, 2 years. America decides to lose its collective mind again and vote for Gavin Newsom. We get a new communist in the White House. Gavin Newsom comes in, promptly pardons John Brennan. All right, that's your concern. A very valid concern. Probably a probability if the guy gets convicted. Okay, but you're John Brennan. And more importantly, you're a future John Brennan. Do you have any idea what legal counsel costs? It's one of the things that is mind-blowing, and people don't truly realize it until they or someone they know get involved in anything to do with the law, whether it be a civil case or a criminal case or something like that. But one of the things that crushed those poor January Sixers who got attacked by the government, the government has unlimited resources, unlimited money, because they steal your money. Well, most people are not wealthy. Even if you are, you're stroking $100,000, $500,000, $1 million or more on legal fees. The January Sixers, many of them couldn't even do it. They had these sorry idiot public defenders who didn't know anything, going up against the federal government, ended up getting sent to prison for terrorism. This is something that happened and happens. Legal counsel is unbelievably expensive, and to be on trial is humiliating. I'm about to sound like the biggest namby-pamby, soft-on-crime wuss, which you know I'm not, but I actually have huge problems with how we handle trials and pre-trial things in this country. I think mugshots, I think to publish someone's name and mugshot, I think that is a gross violation of somebody's rights to have your mugshot or name printed in the paper before you've been convicted of a crime. What if you woke up tomorrow morning and the headline is Jesse Kelly, world famous radio host and cheeseburger maker, beaver slayer, arrested for DUI in Houston, Texas. Okay. Fast forward 4, 5, 6 months. Of course, the media would love that. I might end up getting fired. Who knows? Don't worry, I'm not going to get a DUI. But I might end up getting fired. Media would love it. Reputation destroyed. Ah, look at Jesse the drunk. Comes out in trial 4 or 5 months later. I wasn't drunk at all. I get not guilty at the trial, get off scot-free, my reputation is still destroyed. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked, but the process really is the punishment. Even if we get a conviction on John Brennan, send him to prison. I don't care if it's 5 minutes after he goes to prison, a communist gets in there and commutes his sentence or pardons him. He still had to wear the orange jumpsuit. He still had to sink $1 million, $2 million, maybe more in legal fees, had to bleed all that money dry, the public humiliation. No, is it the pound of flesh we want? Is it the sending to prison for the rest of his natural life that we want? No, but it's not nothing. Trust me, it's not nothing. I have never gone. Lord willing, I don't, but I think we all know the next time a Democrat gets elected, I'll probably end up in prison. But I've never experienced it, but I know many people who have. And even if you come out clean in the end, not guilty, maybe the civil case went your way, it's brutal. Why do you think it is? I mean, you want to hear something crazy about the legal world? It blows my mind, but it's true. So let's say there's a gigantic company, Coca-Cola. Well, I use them a lot because that's one of the first big companies that come to mind. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola gets sued by Jewish producer Chris, probably something he would do. He opens up a Coke. He starts laughing at one of my super witty jokes. The Coke comes out of his nose, burns the inside of his nose. He's mad about it. He decides he's going to sue Coca-Cola for $10 million. That's probably a good number for Chris. A company like Coca-Cola, if they think this lawsuit might be legit, that they might end up paying, they will oftentimes, they'll stroke Chris a check just to go away because it's cheaper for them. Hey, Chris, no, we're not going to pay you $5 million, but how about $100,000? Pay you $100,000, walk away. Chris is already saying, yeah, I'd take it. We all know, Chris. But of course, Coca-Cola doesn't want to have to pay the legal fees, doesn't want to have the bad publicity, doesn't want to go through it. They'll pay you a check to go away. That's how much of a pain legal things are. Or get this. These companies, let's say it's more major than Chris having Coke up his nose. Maybe it's a supplier, it's a decent-sized lawsuit. These companies will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a fake trial. They will get a judge who's experienced, lawyers on every side who are experienced, and run essentially a fake trial with the lawsuit to see, is this winnable? Is this not winnable? They'll spend $500,000 on a fake trial to see if it should go to trial. That is how unbelievably expensive and painful a trial can be. We don't have to send them to prison for the rest of their lives like they deserve. That's not the only way we can get a win here. The process is the punishment when they do it. The process can be the punishment for when we do it. Remember that. All right. Someone wants to talk about the activist judges. Are they involved in a coup? Somebody else wants to talk about profanity. I talked earlier this week about how common that is now in politics, especially with Democrats. It's F word this and F word that. And that. So let's dig into those things. Before we dig into those things, I'm glad you liked the interview last night with Brian Gantz, CEO of Byrna. And I wanted to bring him on because, not just because I love Byrna, but because I love companies that prioritize made in America. Remember his story? They were getting things from everywhere, and they decided, no, we need to make it a priority to have our entire supply chain right here in America. American jobs. It's not just a non-lethal launcher that will save your life when you zap somebody with a tear gas ball and they're sitting there crying. It's not just that it's legal in all 50 states that you don't need a permit. It's put together in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Americans, American jobs, an American company, not only protecting people, protecting cops, by the way. SWAT teams carry them. Private security firms carry them. They have a compact launcher the size of a smartphone for you. Fits right in your purse or your pocket. BYRNA. They're doing 10% off right now. Byrna.com. All right? We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse Friday thing, let's take a minute because that was kind of heavy. We were talking about Obama stuff. And let's laugh and make fun of communists here for a moment because something happened yesterday. The Democrats, they have a social media account. They have many, but the official Democrat social media account, they put up a chart, and it didn't exactly take a genius to read the chart, but the chart was about grocery prices and the increase in grocery prices. And the chart, it was clear as day, showed that grocery prices were normal and stable while Trump was president. And then about the millisecond Joe Biden got elected, grocery prices shot up. And it's not as if this information was just off the chart or they lied about it. They put up a chart showing that Joe Biden blew up grocery prices in the United States of America. And It was obvious to anybody with the most basic of reading comprehension. They proceeded to get savaged by people, including Donald Trump himself, making merciless fun of them for saying, "Y'all, thanks for the compliment. Thanks for trashing your own party. It's so bad they were talking about it on Fox News and the DNC ended up deleting it.
They were saying that all of these prices have gone up in 2025. That's what the headline read. But when you read the graph, the highest points were during Joe Biden's administration. And so this is the White House's response. You can see they highlighted it in red. When it was the highest, it was under Joe Biden.
Right. So they deleted it off. So obviously,
the Democrats deleted it.
Yeah, obviously an own goal by the Democratic Party.
Here's the reason why this is funny and wonderful. You know how we talk about diversity, DEI being the death of everything? Whenever you stop focusing on ability and merit, and you start hiring based on anything else, skin color, religion, gayness, height, eye color, I don't care what it is. The second you focus on anything else but ability, wherever you're doing that, it will slowly rot away and die. It might be you're making tires. It might be you're flying airplanes. It might be you're making movies. It might be you're a political party. If you set aside merit and focus on anything other than that, then whatever you're involved in, whatever it is, it will die. Slowly but surely, it will wither away and die. Now, think about the Democrat Party today. Think about their message publicly. And think about how they hire internally. They all do this now. And they brag about it. They put out press releases now saying, "Hey, we've worked our way up to 40% minorities in the office." And they'll brag openly, "We're getting whitey out of here." They'll brag. "Well, now that we're 75% women, get lost, men." They brag about how DEI focused they are. Eventually, you dumb down your party, you rot away your party for long enough, you will eventually have some moron who runs your social media account who doesn't have the most basic reading comprehension. He can't read a chart that I could read in the third grade. Anyone could read in the third grade. How could they be so stupid? How could they screw it up so much? That's what happens when you spend years hiring for diversity. That's what happens. Top five napper. I know in the world of today, profanity is more common than I think, but am I wrong to think that if you're top leadership of the government, you shouldn't you also be the most professional? I don't care what you say off camera in private, but on the main stage, shouldn't it be clean and professional? It's a turnoff for me to openly be okay with it. Between my civilian jobs and being an 0311, that's an infantryman in the Marine, a rifleman, I'm used to hearing it, but am I wrong for thinking it's just not professional? Listen, thank you. No, you're not wrong. And there is a time, depending on your role in life, where you need to look and act the part. Depending on your role and whatever that role is. If you change oil for a living, you work at Jiffy Lube. By the way, there's not a daggone thing in the world wrong with that. You can have a tattoo on your forearm. You can say some potty words when the customers aren't around. That is going to be something that is going to be acceptable and understandable for your profession. But if you bust your butt doing that and you want to get promoted, and one day they say, "Hey, you're now the manager of this Jiffy Lube." Well, you need to cover up the tattoo on your forearm. And now that you're in the office with khakis on and a button-up shirt, the F word needs to go away because you're the manager and you're expected to act like a manager. I have a huge problem with how John Fetterman dresses as a United States Senator. I do. I think it is an embarrassment to the United States of America. I understand there's no ability like relatability. and Fetterman, who's a dirty communist, has to pretend to be, you know, down home Pennsylvania values. So he throws on some mesh basketball shorts and a hoodie, and that's how he politics, trying to be relatable. I get the game. I understand that. I'm not naive. I think it looks terrible for a United States senator to dress that way. Go put a freaking suit on. I'm not saying it has to be some $1,000 Armani. Chris, is that, do they make suits? They make suits. Well, I don't know, Chris. Okay, it's a $1,000 Armani suit. I'm not saying that. It can be the standard Joseph A. Banks suit the rest of us have, where you get 12 of them for $55. I don't care, but at least put on a suit. And you're right, it's not professional, and I don't like it. I don't like it, and I'm not a saint either. I've heard it. I've said it. I'm not proud about that. A million times over. I'm not moralizing and looking down my nose at that. Look, I'll take it a step further. I mentioned the forearm tattoos. You shouldn't have rings in your face once you enter the political world. Oh, but it's just a stud in the nose. No, lady, I know. And you look great. I get that. It's really kind of hot. I get that. It's time to take it out. Now you work at Merrill Lynch. Time to take it out. Time to cover up the forearm tattoos. Time to put away the F word. Time to upgrade. Yeah, that'll offend a bunch of people. Let's talk about the activist judges in the coup. Let's talk about preborn. Let's talk about solving problems at their root instead of just kind of messing with the symptoms. The root of the problem of abortion is that women have been told, lied to, that it's a clump of cells, it's just a burden, it's going to ruin your life, it's no big deal, just have a pill, just come in for a quick appointment, we'll get rid of it, that's how they talk about it, we'll get rid of it, and then you can be free again. And unless you are introduced to your baby by ultrasound, you will believe that. But when preborn invites you in for a free ultrasound, preborn will give you an introduction. You will lay down and you will hear that heartbeat and you will know, well, that's not a clump of cells. That's my baby. And that's how we save lives. Almost every woman who does it chooses life. Give a woman that gift. $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.